Proverbs chapter 8. Does not wisdom call out? Doesn't understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand beside the gate leading into the city. At the entrance, she cries aloud. To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all humanity. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are upright to those who have found knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 7, verses 18 to 35. John's disciples told him all about these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, illnesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right, because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves, because they had not been baptized by John. Jesus went on to say, "To what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to each other, 'We played the pipe for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not cry.' For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by all her children. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hello, my name is Adam Curtis, and I'm one of the associate ministers here at St. Mary's. And I'm going to be bringing God's word to us today. Please do keep Luke 7 open in front of you as we come to meditate upon it. And as we come to God's word, let us come in humility and in prayer. Dearest God, King of kings and Lord of lords, it is indeed upon your word that we rely. It is upon your word that we are building our lives. And so we ask, Father God, may your spirit lead us, guide us and teach us as we meditate upon it now. Amen.
Amen.
What questions about God can keep you up at night? What questions about the divine can plague your mind? Maybe you're still very new to Christian things, and actually there's a big question, is God, are you even there? Or maybe you've been running this race for an awfully long time, and yet you encounter things in God's word, and it forces you to ask the question, God, are you good? Or maybe you're going through some time of suffering or hardship or pain or difficulty or persecution, and you find yourself asking the question, God, do you care? I've definitely experienced that in big ways and in small ways. I remember being in my 20s and I was very convinced that God was real, but I had this huge question, was he worth following? Which used to plague me. But even now, there might be smaller questions about what his word, about what he calls us and asks us to do as believers, which can just be bubbling away there and keeps me going, keeps me thinking. And so with our questions or our doubts, what are we meant to do with them? And what does God have to say to us who have all these questions? Well, we land today in Luke chapter 7. And I think this passage is all about wisdom and how we may become wise. And I get that from Luke chapter 7, verse 35. And I was listening to a sermon by Vaughan Roberts over from Oxford, who so opened my eyes to what this passage is getting at and how verse 35 helps us understand the whole thing. So verse 35, but wisdom is proved right by all her children. So here we have a proverb. And whenever you have a proverb, you have to think about it. You have to think about it. And I think this proverb is getting at that you know who wisdom is because her children are wise. So as her children make good decisions and good choices, they call what is good, good, and what is evil, evil. As wisdom's children make good decisions and choices, you thus know that their mother is wisdom. In the same way that you see an apple, you know that where that apple comes from is an apple tree. You know that who wisdom is because of her children. And you can name that she is wisdom. And in the same sort of sense for us today, you know if someone is a wise person, if they're making wise decisions. You say, yes, that is an apple because it comes from an apple tree. Yes, that is a wise decision because that person is a wise person. And I think this passage is helping us today to grow in wisdom. And as we land here in Luke chapter 7, we meet again John the Baptist. And we haven't seen John the Baptist for quite a few chapters. He arrived earlier in Luke's gospel and he was preparing people for the coming of Jesus Christ. He was sort of acting like the genie in the film Aladdin, if anyone has seen it or watched it with their children or grandchildren. And in the film Aladdin, you have the genie is preparing the way for Aladdin to come, who comes as a prince. And he prepares the way, and there's a massive procession. And he sings about this prince, and everyone should make way for him. And he's preparing the way for the arrival of the prince. Well, that is what John the Baptist was doing for Jesus. He was preparing the way for the coming of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ. Even though at that point, John might not have known it was Jesus. But he was preparing the way for the Messiah. And now, though, John has been thrown in prison because he was preparing the way and calling people to repent and to believe. And now he has heard about Jesus Christ. And he's heard what Jesus Christ has come and done. He's heard about the healings. He's heard about the preaching. And he's heard about the most incredible miracle of all, the latest miracle, which we saw last week, when Jesus caused the son of a widow to come back to life. And the news of this has spread, and it's spread to John the Baptist in prison. And he has now sent two of his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one?" And we see that twice in verses 18 to 20. "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" And within the wonderings, the ponderings of John the Baptist, we're learning something about wisdom. The wise ask questions. The wise ask questions. Because it's interesting, isn't it, that actually Jesus, he doesn't rebuke John the Baptist for asking this question, but is perfectly happy to answer the question. But it is actually a little bit surprising that John might ask this question when we think about who John the Baptist is. It's very surprising, because John the Baptist and Jesus Christ, they're basically cousins. And so you would have thought, surely John the Baptist would have heard the story of Jesus' birth. He would have known Jesus' mother, Mary. But also, Mary went to Elizabeth, John's mother, and they were friends. And surely Elizabeth would have told John the prophecies which were made about the child which Mary is going to have. And yet here we have John the Baptist with all this knowledge, doubting, questioning if Jesus is actually the one. Surely he would have known it. But then on another level, it's actually not surprising at all that John the Baptist is questioning, is Jesus the one? It's not surprising at all because of the understanding of who John the Baptist would have perceived the Messiah to be. John the Baptist, like many of the Jews in Jesus' day, would have assumed that the Messiah was going to come and he was going to be a liberator. He was going to free his people and he was going to be a judge who was going to bring justice. And here, though, is John the Baptist in prison. And you can always imagine him being like, "Come on, then. If you are the one, if you are the one, liberate me." And yet, there he is in prison. But even though it might be surprising or unsurprising that John asks this question, Jesus doesn't seem to have a problem that he does it. Because the wise ask questions. And let's look at Jesus' response and learn a little bit more about wisdom. In verse 21 to 23, we see Jesus' response to this question. And the thing we learn about wisdom is that the wise follow the evidence. The wise follow the evidence. So let's see Jesus responding. Firstly, we note he doesn't rebuke. Instead, verse 21, "At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, illnesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind." So the first thing Jesus does is he doesn't even say, "Yes, I am the one." He demonstrates and he proves that he is the one. But then Jesus goes on to give John the Baptist even more evidence. In verse 22, "So he replied to the messengers, 'Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor.'" Now, in many ways, on first reading, well, at least for me, when I first read that, it felt like Jesus is then just stating what the disciples have seen. But actually, it's more than that. Because what Jesus is doing here is he's quoting from prophecies found in Isaiah. And it's almost like a tick list. It's like, yes, Isaiah said that the Messiah would come and the blind would be able to receive their sight, and the lame would be able to walk, and those who have leprosy would be cleansed. And it's like, tick, tick, tick. I am that promised Messiah, the one who Isaiah prepared us for. I am that promised Messiah. He's giving John the Baptist even more evidence. And with these two pieces of evidence about what they see and what they here, Jesus then concludes with these words in verse 23. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. So what is it to be blessed? Well, to be blessed is someone who's happy. And who is going to be happy? Well, you're going to be happy if you take Jesus at his word. If you keep on walking the path, following the Father, heading towards him because of Jesus. You're going to be blessed if you take Jesus at his word, if you believe that he's Messiah and if you walk this road. And you'll be the opposite of blessed. Woe to you then if actually because of Jesus, because of who he is and what he's done, you stumble. Actually, the wise, they follow the evidence. They see who Jesus is. They see what he's done and how he's fulfilled the prophecies of old. And they keep on going with him. The wise follow the evidence. And this idea of the one needing to demonstrate who they are is picked up in literature again and again. You see it in the Matrix movies with Neo being the one. You see it in Harry Potter, but maybe you see it also in Lord of the Rings. You see it with Aragorn, and the question is he the one? Is he the long-awaited, expected king? Is this the return of the king? The king of man? The king of men? And Aragorn demonstrates that he is the long-expected king, because he wields that sword which is broken, and in the return of the king, he comes leading that huge sort of ghost army to liberate his people. So he proves that he is the one, and he demonstrates that he is the one. In the same way that Jesus demonstrates he's the one. But this passage has a third thing to teach us about wisdom. And that's all the way from verse 24 all the way to verse 30. We see here that the wise listen to God's messengers. The wise listen to God's messengers. Because once John's disciples have gone and left Jesus, Jesus then turns to the crowd. And he sort of questions them about why they've been so obsessed by John the Baptist. Because people were obsessed by John the Baptist. He drew some big crowds. And Jesus asks them, well, why did you go out into the wilderness to John the Baptist? Why did you go there? Did you just go there for the scenic tour to see the wilderness? Did you go there because you're going to see someone rich and impressive? Or did you go there because you were going to see the great prophet? And John the Baptist is a great prophet. He is the greatest of any human prophet. And we see that in the words of verse 27. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Like this, John the Baptist, he is the one who came to prepare for the very coming of God himself, who is going to come and walk on earth as the God-man Jesus Christ. John the Baptist is the greatest of all the prophets. And we see that in the words of verse 28, which on first reading appear like a bit of a snub. They appear like a bit of a snub for John, but actually they're not. Verse 28, I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And what I think this is trying to get at is actually John is the greatest of his era. The greatest of his era. There is no one greater than John. Because of who he is and because of what he's done in preparing people for the coming of Jesus Christ. There is no one greater than him in his era. But there is another era coming. There is another kingdom coming. And in that kingdom which is to come, you could be the least of the least and you'll be better than the best of the best in this era. Because that's how great the kingdom which is to come is going to be. And Jesus wants us to understand the significance of how great that coming kingdom is going to be. And I think he's painting that picture rather than trying to snub John, who he does say is the greatest man born to women. But the emphasis of the passage here is on how people are responding to John. Because then after that, in verse 29 to 30, we see there are two ways that people respond to God's messenger, the greatest messenger that there has been of this era. Actually, there are two ways that people respond. Either verse 29, they're like a tax collector. A tax collector who hears John the Baptist's message and repents and believes. And that would have been a costly thing for that tax collector to do. A tax collector in those times was known for being dishonest and using dishonest means to gain a fortune. And so you're asking that tax collector to live an honest life, to live a good life, which thus means you're not actually going to earn as much. And to repent, to turn away from that evil life you're living and live a good life instead. But tax collectors came to John the Baptist. They heard that call to repent and believe, and they did it. And they were baptized. They believed the messenger which God had sent them. But then there are other people in the second group, verse 30. Let's hear about them. But the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purposes for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. There is that second group who hear of John the Baptist and they're called to repent and believe and be baptized, and they don't want to do it. They don't think they need to repent of anything. They don't think they need to turn from anything. They don't want to listen to God's messenger. But the wise listen to God's messenger. The wise hear what God has to say. So we learn three things about wisdom in this passage. We learn that the wise ask questions, the wise follow the evidence, the wise listen to God's messenger. And then we learn something about folly. The fool makes demands of God. That's the fourth thing we learn in this passage. The fool makes demands of God. And we see that from verse 31 to 34. Let's read there, 31. Jesus went on to say, "To what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They're like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to each other. We played the pipe for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not cry." How does this work? Well, this is the parable of the brat. The parable of the brat. And it works a little bit like this. Paul here, my good friend Paul, is musically very talented. And if Paul is so musically talented, he's got to be able to dance, hasn't he? And so I am going to play for you, Paul, a song, and I would like you to dance. Now, I will admit, my Irish recorder skills are limited, so it might be a hard one to dance to, but let's give it a go. Are you going to dance, Paul? Boy, I really need you to dance. Okay, maybe I'll sing you a song. I'll sing you a sad song. Maybe you're just not in such a happy mood for the Irish whistle. I'll sing you a song from Les Mis. And I'm very aware there's some big Les Mis fans here, so this is a bit of pressure. I'll sing you a sad song from Les Mis. There is a castle in the sky. I like to go there in my sleep. Not even that. Oh, Paul. This is really embarrassing. I am trying to make a point here, and you're not dancing to either of my songs. That is the parable of the brat. And that is a ridiculous image which Jesus Christ is creating in our head, that you have children who are demanding that people will dance for them. The brat makes demands of God. The fool wants God to dance the beat of their drum. And Jesus here is really showing how foolish these people are. They're so foolish, we see in verse 33 and 34, that John the Baptist comes, and they're like, "Oh, you're too depressing." And then Jesus comes, and he's like, "Oh, you're ridiculous." Actually, the fool wants God to conform to their image, to their understanding of reality, to their understanding of who he should be. But wisdom is proved right by her children. So if this is the message of Luke chapter 7, well, what is God saying to us today here in Maidenhead, hundreds of years after Jesus Christ said these words and Luke kindly recorded them for us? What is God saying to us today here in Maidenhead? Are you wise? Or are you a fool? Are you wise? Or are you a fool? I don't know if you guys have heard the news of the founder of Wikipedia has recently become a Christian. He's a philosopher by trade, Larry Sanger, and he's written a fascinating essay on his conversion, recent conversion to Christianity. And within his essay, he tells a little bit about his story. He tells about how he did grow up in a home where they would occasionally go to church. And as a teenager, he had lots of big questions about God. And so he went to go talk to his pastor. But his pastor sort of just brushed him off and just pushed him to one side. And so when he was a teenager, he just thought to himself, you know what? If this guy isn't even willing to engage with my questions, then clearly Christianity is for stupid people. If you're not willing to engage with questions, Christianity is for stupid people. And so he just became an agnostic. And then many years later, he started to engage with people, first online, and then I think in friendships as well, people who were really living out their faith, but were intellectually willing to engage with him in the questions that he had. And he saw actually how Christians were actually living out their faith, the way that they were living, and had these incredible conversations with them. And it's led a long process to him acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. And see, that is the way of the wise. That is the way of the wise. That's what wisdom looks like. It looks like asking your questions. God, are you there? God, are you good? God, do you care? Wisdom looks like asking your questions. Sometimes we can think to ourselves, oh, surely the wise already have, they're not asking questions. They're the ones giving us answers. And we particularly think that when it comes to God. We don't even sometimes want to admit that we might have questions or doubts, whether we be brand new, the first Sunday you've ever been at church, or been here for years. And actually, it's one of the hardest things I can find being a vicar, is dealing with people's expectations of me, when they can sometimes just assume that I'm a finished product, rather than someone who also might have questions and doubts and need to sometimes wrestle these things through. Sometimes people expect me to be a finished product rather than a work in progress. But the reality is, John the Baptist had questions, and there was no man born of woman greater than him. He had these questions, and he would have heard of all these stories from his own mother Elizabeth about Jesus Christ. But he had his questions. And actually, it's wise to have the questions and to ask the questions. There's nothing wrong with having questions and doubts which keep us up late at night. What's wrong is when we let them fester and we allow them to take us away from him, rather than to verbalize them, which is a brave and courageous thing, and to seek wisdom and to seek knowledge and understanding. We need to ask our questions. And in asking our questions, we need to follow where the evidence may take us, even though it might sometimes take us to places we are unexpected to find ourselves. And we need to, as we're following the evidence, we need to be listening to God's messengers. Even though, like John the Baptist, God's messengers might be telling us hard truth, it would have been hard for that tax collector to turn from his way of living and to follow follow that message and repent and believe. And yet it is wisdom to follow God's messengers, to hear God's messengers, to listen to them, even when the message is hard. But this passage also gives us a warning. If we want to be wise, or are we going to be a fool? Because there is nothing wrong with questions. God has given us a mind. Let's use it. Questions are great. But we are a fool when we demand a certain type of answer from God. We are a fool when we have our drum and we are banging it and we want God to dance to our beat. We are a fool when we have a certain answer which we want God to give before we're going to accept it and follow his leading. The only God that conforms to our minds is a God of our own making. And that God is an idol. And that is not the God who has made the universe and has revealed himself in Jesus Christ. Are you going to be wise, or are you going to be a fool? Let's just meditate upon God's word, and then I'll close in prayer. But wisdom is proved right by all her children. Dearest God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we know that you are full of understanding, that you comprehend all things, that you know all things. We know that you are the very source and creator of wisdom itself, And so we ask, Father God, for your help so that we may be wise. Please, Father God, help us to make good decisions. Please, Father God, may the fruits of our actions, our lives, and our words reveal the wisdom which you have given us. Please, Father God, help us to be honest with questions and doubt so that we may hear your voice, so that we may hear your word, so that we may come to Jesus and follow wherever he may take us. In the name of Jesus, amen.